Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber, StuWeb.com, and it is December the 4th, 2020, Friday. We're going into a second hour because my phones were hacked, and we can't get Joe on, but I do have Professor Paul, Heidi, and Jeff on. Now, Paul, you just heard where we left off. Please continue.
Joe, churches are being shut down in Europe. So people are actually re-educated, and by re-educated, they've been told COVID is real and you're going to get vaccinated, and that vaccination is going to inhibit any possible relationship with God because of what it does to your RNA, DNA. So then we talked about America, we transitioned into America, and he talked about de Tocqueville and what he wrote about the moral backbone of America being related to its beliefs and its churches, and now the churches are being effectively shut down here too. And I think we are in some really fast water. In fact, here's my metaphor. We are going through the guardrail. We've already left the road. We've busted through the guardrail. All three of you is, are you going to push on the accelerator? Are you going to tap the brake? Or are you going to try and steer your of the collapse, crash? So, Heidi, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, honestly, I truly believe that just based on some of the intel that I've received, I mean, we have all talked about the fact that China is involved in this, and I'm already getting backlash for reporting something in terms of our University of Nebraska accepting funds from China, and essentially, without going into too much detail,
bring it to me privately, and I...
Okay.
I cause chaos.
Okay. So anyway, I totally believe indeed that things are just going in dwarf speed right now. The push, we were just watching a video a short time ago with Fauci and Zuckerberg, saying that they were encouraging us to prepare for all of us Americans to get the vaccination during this first quarter of the year, that it's necessary, especially those that are immune compromised, because if we all don't get vaccinated, then we're going to be harming one another. But of course, let's still wear the mask and this and that. And
may I add this just for a moment? Without interrupting your thought, hold your thought. I had another show today, and I had a special guest on, so it was today's show. Go and listen. He has studied this whole vaccination crap and everything pertaining to Fauci and this, you know, and anyway, it's a good show. It's a good listen. Go ahead. Connect some dots as far as the main players that are pushing for the vaccinations, folks. Go ahead.
So ultimately, you know, with the vaccination thing, you know, something that I've said from the get-go, if we comply with a mask, any one of us, if we comply with those, we're only enabling them then for the next thing. And the next thing is mandatory vaccinations. I ended up getting some intel from some folks about there's chips that are being discovered in these tests, you know, the various different COVID tests, and I'm looking for the exact information real quick. There's a person who allegedly straight from his Twitter page, was indicating that he had gone to get a test, and the person, the administrator, handed him the swab, and he took off with it. He went home. He ended up examining it under a holographic optical chip, or and found this holographic optical chip at the end of the swab, and it's just you guys.
Make sure you send it to me. Let's get the thing lit up. Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Half the stuff out here is bogus information. The other half, people are finding things because we're warriors in Christ, patriots, Americans, and they're trying to save the country. So we have possibly a legitimate American found something hot. Send me the stuff. I'll go through it. Best I can do, determine what's real and what's not. But go ahead.
Well, and I agree, because I'm very guarded on this, though I started doing a little research on the makeup of all of this, and ultimately, it also is a radioactive transition metal with the component of it. And apparently, I did a little checking on Tesla, too, and Elon Musk, and he posted something about this element called 43, and that's what apparently this is comprised of. So, Stu, I will send that to you, but ultimately, even before tests really became rampant, I just sensed, Stu, and you talking about, you know, all of us being believers, I just sensed the Lord was saying, do not even get tested. I tried to tell people that, just who knows what they could put in this stuff?
They want your DNA, is the reason my belief is they're testing us. As my super spook Otis Johnson said, I use him as an example because he's dead and they can't kill other super spooks, a few that he introduced me to. And other people did. He said, everybody is a signature on the planet now, Stu. They want everybody's DNA so they can clone you or they can chip you. So they can friggin' control you. It's the aliens. He says, yeah, you call them fallen angels, Stu. I'm in agreement with you, but the United States government, the NSA, calls them the aliens. Go ahead.
Well, so ultimately, what I guess, based on what I'm discovering, it's a infiltrator that has those properties, including mind control and DNA direct manipulation.
Well, Stu Webb goes and gets a shot, and all of a sudden he hates guns instead of loving Jesus Christ, who was God in human form, and all of a sudden he wants to kill all the Christians on the planet for not getting a chip, right?
Exactly.
Joffrey, can you weigh in here on guardrail has been penetrated, and the car is... it's over the cliff. Are you hitting the accelerator, tapping the brakes, or are you still trying to steer?
Oh, well, I think, you know, the steering is probably out of my hand. That steering wheel's been removed. A little control over that. You know, you're talking about the God particle that they identified when they wanted to use that in the Afghan war, where they identified the particle and they had done work that they could isolate it. They could destroy it. They could eliminate God. And after testing it on people, they would light up areas in the brain that would show this certain area of brightness, almost like a light. And that's what they decided to target, because they knew if they could get the people of Islam, the Muslim faith, to believe that they were hearing from Allah by using the voice of God technology from the... basically, it's a satellite-type system, but projecting a voice that they were hearing, this also came into play. So they told them to drop their guns. This is all on. And this other kind of thing. So what they've been doing is they've been working with this for a while. And we all know Satan's behind that. I mean, how do you identify the spirit of God within a person? How does anybody even want to go about trying to do that? I mean, I think we're so far off the guardrail, past the guardrail, floating in space, where Whitey Coyote And is it any wonder that God is probably about ready to judge our country? And again, we get back to that, you know, where are we as people and what do we believe? We are in a rough situation, and I don't know, even if the election goes a certain way, are we really any better shape, you know? Did we buy a stay of execution? Some think so. Maybe we do. Maybe we did. But anyway, yeah, difficult position to be in.
If I can add a couple of things here, Jeff.
Yeah.
You know, if all the women who've had abortions in this country really got on their hands and knees and begged God for forgiveness for killing their own child, it would lift a curse off of this nation. If everybody who robbed somebody got on their hands and knees and begged God to forgive them, it would take a curse off of this nation. Anybody killed somebody, got on hands and knees and begged for God for mercy and forgiveness, it would help take the curse off this nation. It doesn't mean God's going to forgive them. It's going to help lift the curse. We are cursed. The whole planet's friggin' cursed for the wicked ways. Now, you mentioned lights going off. When I pray, since I really got saved up around 1997, in a hot tub, in a snowstorm, ice storm in Colorado, up near Greeley. It was a cold night. The next day, God answered my prayers. I want to see Millman go for a grand jury. I was to appear 2 weeks later because of Ross Perot in 1997. My ex-witch doctor's father was fined $80 million. Mizell got fined $10 million. Fred Rakel got fined $1.5 million, the former mayor of Denver, for a bribe from Phil Wynn, the HUD scamster that got a presidential pardon from Clinton. And Mizell got fined $10 million. A few others. About 150 federal agents, FBI agents, U.S. attorneys, congressmen, and senators that took $1 to $2.5 million in bribes from Leonard Mellon of Ross Perot's sting operation on them. Since I was dealing with him back in 1992 in the election, he helped me and ran it that far. Thank you, Ross. I will always salute you for what you did for me. Two FBI agents stood at the door of the grand jury, which I was invited, and told me, Mark Holslaw, you go through the door, we're going to arrest you. We'll find an excuse. You're not going in there. You're not going in there. There's a recording up there of him in a conversation with Peter Kowalja before that happened. Over Gulf War syndrome, who worked for the NSA investigating Bush and Millman. They killed his wife, etc. The conversation's up there. Here's the point. They paid those fines. Nobody went to jail. All that evidence is secured under national security, Mr. President. All you have to do is punch the button to the doors and send in the military to start prosecuting them. Now, when lights go off, God Almighty, I've prayed against the enemy so many times. At times, I see little lights go off. Sometimes I see big lights go off while I'm praying. Little reflectors, like stars in my brain, see them in my eyes, excuse me. And then God's proved me, your prayers are answered. I saw lights going off after I'd been baptized. Started seeing within 2 weeks, all of a sudden they're in a grand jury and I'm being invited. I've seen lights go off many, many times. I prayed with people. I prayed with you, Jeff. I prayed with Adi. I prayed with Paul. I prayed with many people. I've seen lights go off. That's God Almighty and warn angels against the enemy. Now, that is not high technology doing that to me. I'm just telling you. And I prayed with people. No lights went off. I asked God's will to be done. I made my statement. But they are using the technology to mind screw everybody on the planet. Pick it up, Jeff.
Yeah, I just was going to finish commenting. I went to the Barnes & Noble store a couple nights ago. And along the lines of that, you know, we're talking about a curse on the world. In one section, it was how 100 curses for the beginner, basically, the beginning warlock or witch. And the section that they had for this whole spirituality section was unbelievable. The amount of books for spells, casting spells, how to cast a spell on someone. You know, I think as Christians, we sometimes poo-poo that. We don't really give a whole lot of weight to it. But, you know, it just does get back to that spiritual warfare and the preparedness of such a thing. And anyway, when I was a kid, there's just no way we'd have ever seen anything like that. To talk about the degradation of society, you know, we are in it. Anyway, Paul, go ahead, or Stu.
There's so much that we're covering. It's massive, because ultimately what this leads to is what's called H+. H+ means transhuman. Transhuman means no longer human, synthetic, immortal. And that is the big picture goal that supposedly goes back to Genesis 3. And it's tough to know how many people think that they've been promised this H+, this transhumanism. I am sometimes surprised that people have said to me, well, I can't wait for the upgrade. I just want to make it through this next technical revolution. And I have to look at them and say, well, when did you become part of the club? Or tell me, where are you coming from? What do you know? What have you been promised? Are you consorting with the darkness? And it's kind of interesting. You get a pretty big cross-section of responses. But where this is going, this is a total lockdown, a total matrix, a hive mind, a lack of any continuing to be human. And I don't know that we can right now manage this as much as we can suggest to people. There's nothing good, nothing favorable, nothing positive, nothing affirming, nothing hopeful about getting vaccinated. For instance, one of the vaccines supposedly has to be kept at 90 degrees below Fahrenheit and then 70 Celsius below. What type of vaccine is this where you have to keep whatever it is 90 degrees below zero Fahrenheit, 70 below Celsius? And I did actually turn it on to the Criminal News Network, the Catholic News Network. And I have to tell you, it just is almost amazing. The hate, the vitriol, the anger. And I have to admit, I continue to be puzzled by one Donald Trump. I think besides Kennedy, he's the only guy that I see any redeeming qualities in. And yet I've never looked to the leadership group in America, the parasites behind the curtain, the people who wield power and have the money. And the reason I never have been able to go there or support or tell others that I think they merit our support is they've never earned it. But beyond that, temperamentally, I'm much more comfortable with the we are the ones we've been looking for and it's up to us. But I think we get to the point now where with Trump or with Joey from Scranton, where is this going? And I say that because if Trump does declare the 14th Amendment or the Insurrection Act and we have martial law, how exactly does that martial law play out? I think it plays out in civil war. Now, if Trump is not the president post January 20th, then does Joey from Scranton get inaugurated? I have to admit that in my mind, I'm not even capable of projecting that type of outcome, because I don't really think there's a real Joe Biden that could be president. I think he's got a body double and so forth. But either scenario, Joey from Scranton or Donald, either way, you get civil war. And that civil war...
If I can inject something here for a second, and I want your thoughts on this, but I think it will not be a civil war. It will be a revolution. People are fed up to a point they're ready to execute all politicians, arrest them and execute them. Get rid of them. We have 150 million people saying, these people are above the law. They never get prosecuted. They never get prosecuted. They're above the law. I think that's the direction. And if it won't turn into civil war, the whites outnumber the blacks. It won't turn into that. We have a huge black audience here of patriots that voted for Trump. It won't go that direction. What will happen? It will, in my opinion, Paul, I've studied this. In my opinion, there will be an execution of public officials. That's my personal opinion. I do not promote that. We are at that point. Everybody wants justice, and they know there's two sets of books in the Justice Department. One's for them, the New World Order, satanic pigs, and one's for the American people, where if you speak out against them, they jail you, they do this to you, they do that to you. Go ahead.
Well, I appreciate your insight, and...
And I hope to God, I hope to God, we don't have to pick up arms, that prayer works, war and angels go after them, expose them, and destroy them, and our public officials and our people who we have within the government do their job. And I would ask God Almighty, in His holy name, in the name of Jesus, for those that don't do your job, I ask God, you either bring them and their entire family to salvation or start destroying their family like you've done in the past when I requested such an event and I didn't request it. I ask for their salvation or their destruction. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, Sid, I want to use a prophet's name or a messenger from God, a human messenger. And his name was Jonah. And Jonah was sent to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. And he didn't want to go because he wasn't sure that he'd make it out of there alive. And he was absolutely sure that no one was going to accept his message. And so God had to give him some reality. And Jonah then presented a message to Nineveh. And I just want to make a comment here before I turn it over to you guys. When you read the so-called lesser prophets, it's not in chronological order. So, for instance, Malachi may be the last one before Jesus. But essentially, you have the major prophets and then the so-called minor prophets, but it's according to their conciseness or the brevity or their length of their writing. And so, Jonah, it's kind of tough to know without your study Bible. When did Micah live? When did Zechariah live? When did Zephaniah live? So just know that those are not in chronological order, but rather in order of the amount of scripture that they have that's in the Bible. So I am not exactly sure what years Jonah went to Nineveh. Now I'll have to look it up because I'm embarrassed, but I don't know. But anyway, Jonah gave an if ultimatum, if you repent. Now, I'm going to throw it out to here, kind of our last point before we close. A lot of people in America have done solemn assemblies. A lot of people have been in deep repentance. A lot of people have been praying and fasting. We are all doing some pretty serious stuff. And I heard from, well, I didn't personally hear from Dan, but Stan Johnson said to me that at least 20,000 churches and now there are about 340,000 churches. So you do the math. You know, that's not 20,000, not 340. But anyway, at least that many churches were doing solemn assemblies, were fasting and praying. And essentially what they're trying to do is get a more time. Now, that more time is what Stu talked about earlier. It is repentance. It is a change of heart. It is a change of behavior. So, Heidi, and then Joffrey.
If I can add to that just for a second. Here I am beating them up in Colorado, going to kick their ass. And finally I said, God, I can't do this by myself anymore. I need your help. And I went to a hot tub that wasn't hot but cold. And I got dipped in an ice storm, snowstorm. And I said, God, I will serve you. I posted the Ten Commandments on the dashboard of my car the next day. And I was furious. I went into prayer so deep, Leonard Millman ended up in a grand jury 2 weeks later, paid an $80 million fine. Had to sell south of Person and Colorado Boulevard. He had to sell a building down there. And he sold it to one of his Iran-Contra stooges and bought it back 2 years later to make it look like he sold the building to pay his $80 million fine. I cost him a few deed fees and attorney fees. That's all he got, $80 million fine. But God works wonders. Go ahead, Bo.
Back to Jonah and the Psalm Assembly of Prayer, you gave a great anecdote. And you know what? We all need to hear these anecdotes because God is very real, and we just need to always understand that He's in charge. But back to Jonah and the praying. We're praying for more time to be witnesses, to do the Mark 16:15. Jesus came to save, heal, and deliver, and that then turns us into the Great Commission. That's what we now exist to do. So where are we at in terms of is God hearing our prayers, or is America so far gone that we get to either be part of the remnant that is translated or somehow makes it over to Megiddo and we get to last another 3 to 7 years or whatever it might be. What is the future of America right now? What happens in the next 10 days, 30 days, 90 days? Heidi, can you start?
Well, yeah. I would say that, I mean, for me, it's very difficult to put a time element on things, and I'm encouraged because we know that God doesn't operate in time. He operates outside of time, and that does give me some hope. And ultimately, my greatest hope, like I've mentioned many times before, it is completely knowing that there, without a doubt, I am going to go to heaven. I just want to bring a whole posse with me.
Heidi.
Heidi.
Ladies and gentlemen, I met this woman a week ago. Was it tonight or last, or 2 weeks ago? My days mixed together. Pardon me?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. You're right, Stu.
This woman and her friend are two Christians, so powerful. I wish God would translate or put women like her on the planet so I can go meet one.
Oh,
yeah.
Stu.
Don't we all?
That's so precious. Thank you. Paul, I'm honored.
You hear what I'm saying. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, if you met this woman and you spent 2 hours with her, you'd understand what I mean. The Holy Spirit is like, and just she glows with it. Enough said. Go ahead, Heidi.
Oh, Stu, I
love you, sweetie. I love Jeff, too. You're my new friends. My Christian friends. Oh, you're powerful in Christ. You're beautiful people. Go ahead.
Well, we were very, very honored, Stu, to meet you in person and to know we'd already had a bond, a heavenly bond knowing that we all are adopted in God's kingdom when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And back to what Professor Paul was saying, you know, the time element is even, I think, drawing closer than I even expected. Based on all the indications and the information that I have researched in terms of the timeline of when the Global Alliance for Vaccines wanted to get all of these things disseminated, to hear today that, Fauci and Mark Zuckerberg are now, indicating that they want to have this all done, implemented by first quarter of this of 2021. Time is of the essence. So, indeed, what you said, Professor Paul, is spot on. There's never been more of a time where I am seeing evil everywhere. I mean, literally looking at people as, and I think I see demon possession. I've never seen so much of it.
I'm seeing it too. I'm seeing it also. And the actions of people. Go ahead.
And at these rallies, that's the same thing I'm hearing from other people too. Their interactions, whether it be in a personal manner with folks, or, whatever form of communication people are having, interactions with people that maybe have opposing views. I mean, it is just hate-filled and evil. But my point being, like you said, ultimately, our number one mission is sharing the gospel. And we have a small window, I believe. I truly do with all my heart. I never thought in my lifetime that I would probably see this happen. But I do believe we times are knocking on the door. And the Lord is wanting us to repent, to turn away from our own sin, to tell our brothers and sisters and non-believers, hey, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus daily. You can have him too. There's no sin that is too bad that would keep you away from going to heaven if you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
I'm a rich doctor, folks, and I believe I might be in heaven. Go ahead, Heidi.
Well, I and that is the one thing that burdens my heart is I have been around some of the most precious people who have fallen prey to the falsehood that they would not be able to come to heaven because they've done so many wrong things. And I just want to encourage everyone that one of the two men that were hanging on the cross next to Jesus Christ, he was up for what? For murder, wasn't it, guys?
Robbery.
Yeah. And yet, there's no sin that Jesus' atonement, his blood, cannot cover you.
Hey, I married the rich doctor, Satan himself's daughter, and I've been forgiven, folks.
Yep. So please, come to Jesus. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, please just pray to him. Lord, I trust that you have died on the cross for my sins. I am a sinner. I've done things that are wrong. I've done them today. But by your atonement, by your sacrifice on the cross, I know that you are my Jesus Christ. You are my Lord and Savior. And you have forgiven my sins as far as the east is to the west. And that I know that you died, rose again, conquered sin, and through that, I can come to heaven only through Christ, not of my works, so that I not boast, and that I will be able to be in heaven for eternity with any and every other one of my brothers and sisters who have done the same.
And that is so powerful. There's the Holy Spirit coming out in that woman, folks. You better be listening. And what did he tell you, Heidi, before he left the planet? God in human form, in my opinion. Not his son. Him in human form. Come down and show us how to do the game. He says,
yes.
Okay, I've healed people. I've raised them from the dead. And he says, what I have done, you can do more with the Holy Spirit. I believe that, folks. I just haven't quite gotten perfect with Christ. I have my sins. I smoke a couple times. I have a drink each week just because my neck and back ache so bad. I put myself to sleep. I consider that to be sin. Smoking cigarettes, sin. I'm not perfect. I'm trying to be perfect the best I can do. But I know one thing. He's answered thousands of prayers of mine. The most powerful prayers. A prosecutor's son's dead. A judge's son is dead. Batman didn't kill me in the middle of my sleep because of the power of Jesus Christ, Almighty God, by His blood and by His stripes. Go ahead, Heidi.
Amen. Amen, Sue.
Hey,
Let Heidi finish there for a second. Paul, did you have something else to say?
No, I'm fine.
Go ahead, Paul.
When we talk about the flesh, the carnal, all of us in the carnal only have really two attributes. One is self-righteous, and the other is unrighteous. So if anyone thinks that they're going to conquer their error, they're missing the mark, their sin in the flesh or the carnal, by their own works in the flesh and in the carnal, aren't recognizing in the carnal and the flesh, there's only unrighteous and self-righteous. And that is where the relationship, accepting Jesus into your heart and believing in Him and receiving the Holy Spirit, then you become the Spirit man. And that's when your heart begins to change. And once your heart changes, you are a new being in God. Joffrey, could you give us a closing comment? Because I think we've got to wind it up.
Yeah. Yeah, you were right on with the Jonah aspect of how, you know, he's looking at himself and saying, hey, I don't want to go and present God's case to these Ninevites. Why? He might forgive them. It'd be just like God to forgive these people for this ugly, gross-ass sin. So you're right on with his self-righteousness. He didn't want to go because he knew God might be merciful. So, you know, we do have a merciful God. And you hit it on the head when we come to God with who we are and say, hey, look, here we are. I did this last week. I was a good guy. I helped somebody cross the street. Whatever it is that I did that I thought was a bonus point. That is bringing to before a holy God my puny little deeds that I think are an atonement for my sin and my reason to say, hey, look, you've got to let me in your kingdom because look what I do. And as you mentioned before, both Heidi and Stu and you, Paul, it is not anything to do with oneself, but everything to do with Him who is from above. And so the food from the Father is the Son. And so, yeah, I will embrace the Son, kiss the Son, lest He be angry. And we all need to do that. And that is where the salvation lies, not in oneself, but in passing that to and through the Son of God. So, yes, go ahead, Paul.
I think we've done our hour. And
Paul, if I may add to it, I'd ask a question of everybody in our audience. And I'd pass the question to everybody here, Heidi, Jeff, and Paul. If you had so much power of God that you could kill people, would you do it? If you had the power of God Almighty to slay the devil, would you do it? If you got the power of God to raise people from the dead, would you do it? To heal people, would you do it? To change the course of history, would you do it? I don't have any of those powers to kill people. I don't have any of those powers of doing these things. But the power that I do have to do any of those things, including wipe out people, heal people, raise them from the dead. I've prayed over people, and by God Almighty, Jesus Christ, He's healed a couple of people. It blew my friggin' mind. The power of God. I've seen a prosecutor's son die, went to Las Vegas, begging for God's mercy to the public defender, Lauren Deppenbaugh. Anybody in the press, Patriot community, can confirm with her. She's still in Las Vegas. After lie detector knew I was innocent, calls me up. Stu up. I prayed for that prosecutor to drop the charges against me that Ted Gunderson and his sidekick, it wasn't Gunderson, his sidekick, assault and battery, which is supposedly robbery in someone else's house. I didn't rob anybody of anything. To slander me. Now, the previous show that I did, someone brought the light to my attention that I was unaware of. One of us. It's in today's show, folks. About Gunderson. Listen to him. Here was the point. The prosecutor came to the public defender's office after praying on my hands and knees for 2 months. God, you know I'm innocent. I didn't rob anybody of any documents that Gunderson claims the fame to be. But this killer, he got off a charge for $200,000. That later, he blew up in his face. And then I found he was a cover-up meister talking to whistleblowers, etc. I prayed for God. You know I'm innocent. You made the devil force me to put a fucking card in a machine. Put a card in a machine at the police department 3 times a week, 4 miles in town right there. Well, I want to move. But oh no, they're going to do that to me. They'll hold me down because they're going to imprison me. And they're using this Las Vegas prosecutor who I begin to pray for his salvation. I said, God, bring him to salvation or destroy him. I prayed for the assistant prosecutor. God, bring him to salvation or destroy him. She was very attractive, but she was so friggin' evil. I mean, walk away from that. Anyway, Deffenbaugh had the Holy Spirit. My public defender, which I did lie detector, proved my innocence, whole bit. No robbery, no nothing. This guy swung at me after Ted Gunderson asked me to watch over his place while he was visiting his daughter in L.A. after I'd lived at his place, protecting his place for 9 months, and then he lived there for 2 months while I lived there, and then I moved out. Here's the point. I claimed a two-story friggin' building as a United States Marine trying to do this shit, balcony to balcony, because someone was in there. And this woman asked me to go over and protect Annamae Newman, who was the Dallas Cowboys girl, made when they had a big party at Senior's house. Daddy Bush was at everybody. And partying over, they just killed John F. Kennedy. Ted Gunderson was in charge of the Merchant Estate, which included him and his son. And he ripped off Annamae Newman and brought her to Las Vegas. She paid her rent. Because he worked it out with the CIA and FBI, Crooks Division, had to get her Social Security because he stole $80,000 severance pay the Dallas Cowboys owner, Clint Murchison, to gave her. So he's down there convincing the Patriots he's a Patriot. Oh, Stu, I hear you need to play. I hear you're in Las Vegas. I'll be down there in 3 days. I'm flying back. I got a 5-story condo place that's empty. I need a guy like you to keep it secure. I mean, he needed a place to live. I lived there for about 4 or 5 months before he came, 9 months before he came back. He lived there for 2 months, moved out, said something's wrong. He's got all this shit going on. Somebody talked today about that in a previous show. The point is, those charges were dismissed because of the power of God Almighty. But Brooke calls me up, not Brooke. She's a Christian. She's a very beautiful person like Heidi is, as far as a female Christian woman is concerned. Heidi makes her look like Santa Claus. But she is very powerful. She calls me up and she says, "Stu, Lori Deffenbaugh." I said, "Lori, how are you doing?" Now, this is about 14 days before December 2021. She calls me up and says, "Stu, Lori Deffenbaugh, Lori, how you doing, sweetie?" "I'm okay." She was a great person. "I got good news for you. I have other news for you." I said, "Well, Lori, you want to give me the good news or the other news?" She says, "The other news." I said, "Well, hit me with it." She says, "You're a prophet." I remember backing up. I remember right now the phone call. And it was ground lines. It wasn't cell phones. I back up. I'm in the kitchen. Counter, phone. I backed up and leaned against the counter. I started kind of laughing. I said, "What are you talking about? I'm no prophet." She says, "No, God show me you are." I said, "Talk to me." She says, "The prosecutor on Ted Gunderson's case came to my office today in tears, crying, with a folder in his hand, holding napkins in one hand, wiping the tears out of his eye as he comes to my office. I got to see you." I closed the door, she said, and he started talking. "What's the matter? What's the matter?" she says. He says, "Last night my son was killed in a car crash. And God told me I'm next. I will die today. If I do not dismiss the charges against Stu Webb, the first charges that we created in our office down here. Therefore, here's the order. I really pulled it to dismiss the charges. The date is separate, such and such." She consulted with him, you know, giving the hugs and shit, all the other stuff. And she called me up and told me this. And she says, "The date set for such as." I said, "Lori, I'll be there. I want to give the judge a copy of the book, the conspirators, which put the heat on me, given a period of time that I got published on Martin Irwin caught the whistleblower's book, because the judge couldn't carry a gun to protect him and his wife, a municipal judge, because the Clinton administration signed that if you made a threat to a previous person and they never file the charge that you made some threat, you can't have a gun in Nevada." And he opposed that. And they dismissed the charges that day, which I told her I'd be there. Sorry, Lori, for the prosecutor, but I'm not a prophet. So I was there. I handed a copy of Al Martin's book, The Conspirators. Everybody found on the internet Al Martin, well, he's dead, but the Mossad agent infiltrating has it. I own 10% of the book because I got it published, but I never got 10% of the book, and it's because you're a debanker of the Mossad agent, which is probably involved with Al Martin's demise, along with Daddy Bush, Jeb Bush, Neil Bush, George Jr. in 2008 to 2012. He was taken to an island in Venezuela, and he was tortured and killed, and I know that, and I can prove it. Mr. President, give me that grand jury. But anyway, there's my story about power God, prayer. That's one. I'm locked up in federal prison. They take me and say, after I screamed at Judge, Einstein. They're coming up by Meister, by Marcelo Milman, the gate boy, when the presidential party had me arrested, blah, 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 goes on. Supplying NDC holdings with construction materials that he never supplied for his pay-offs and blows, and I have the evidence he's never been prosecuted for. Lock me up. Case dismissed by Richard Mates. Richard Mates says, Stuart, if the U.S. attorney does not give you a grand jury, I will allow you to appear before with your private attorney before the grand jury. I haven't had the grand jury. Here's the other point. The judge that was appointed to my case after Feinstein, I recused him. Why I'm a federal political prisoner. His name was, I'm trying to think, but his son. I went back to my rack after they appointed him. I said, this guy's a stooge. I've just been stooge for another 3 to 6 months in prison. They're going to keep me here forever. I screamed at God in my rack in my own cell. I had no roommate, crap, with double bunks. I told the guard, you put anybody in here, they might be CIA. I'm going to kill them the first night. They didn't put anybody else in there. Now, I'm screaming at God at 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the afternoon, coming back from the courthouse, transferred by U.S. Marshals in the van, handcuffed down, all that crap, to the MCRD, I mean Littleton Detention Center, Littleton, Colorado, Federal Detention Center in Littleton, Colorado. I'm screaming on my rack. I fell asleep. I didn't wake up till the next morning. I passed breakfast. God knocked me out the Holy Spirit for screaming at him. Demanded justice. I go down the TV room because I was non-trial. I was pre-trial. They couldn't make me work around the prison. I could work on my case and stuff. So I go down to the TV room. People surround the TV. And I said something. What's going on? Because all the cameras at the federal courthouse in Denver and all the other. Hey, you haven't heard, Stu? Judge such and such. Son was killed last night. Somebody stuffed two coke cores and one coke freak that was buying drugs from Pelican Beats in Denver, Colorado, or whatever it was, one of the strip joints, one of the bars that Milman, Mizell, Brownstein, I've talked about, owned forgot the other guy's name, but they owned all the hot spots and strip joints, but the strip joints, they were dealing cocaine, meth, pot, anything over the counter you wanted. The guy that was the doorman was their drug dealer. These two good-looking coke whores and boyfriend took him back to his place, robbed him, and stuck a bottle of Clorox down his throat. The next day, Judge Richard Meech, they had killed his daughter because of me blowing out a massive national scandal. The one that was appointed to my case because this judge was in mourning, who screamed at the prosecutor, dismissed my case with prejudice, no felonies for terroristic death threats to Jewish families in Denver, printed in Time magazine, charged with that. Only 3 people had ever been charged in 1991 with such a charge. I was one of the 3. They shut me the fuck up. God took me out of 2 situations and killed a prosecutor's son. First it was a judge's son, and then a prosecutor's son. And the one that was a judge when I was locked up as a political prisoner, I'm telling the story about, Judge Richard Mace screams, releases me after the shriek in Springfield, said there was nothing the matter with me after being locked up by the government with 1,500 Iran-Contra players and 500 literally just many of them trying to bust the same people that were down there with me. Now, that's a power of God. What happened? I was released. Judge Richard Mace released me with signature bond after signature. After the shrink testified, there wasn't anything the matter with me. There was no evidence of wrongdoing, and that I should have never been sent there. That was a shrink in Springfield, Missouri, the head of the hospital for the criminally insane, where all the Iran-Contra players were, 1,500 of them, 500 federal agents. Most of them, 99%, said they were insane. Judge Richard Mace, I stood up and screamed for a $50,000 signature bond instead of cash bond they had set on me. He granted, within 2 hours you will be released. I was nearly arrested by the U.S. attorney again outside the courthouse after walking down the streets. Long story, I'm not getting into it. Judge Richard Mace stood up in the courtroom 30 days later when he dismissed the federal charges against me for terroristic death threats to Jewish families in Denver. Only 3 people in the United States of America had ever been charged. The prosecutor says, Judge, please don't mess with prejudice. The government has spent $750,000 trying this case. The judge turned big and red. Judge Richard Mace, now retired. At the time, later becomes head federal judge, but was under Feinstein, the cover-up meister, before. He stands up about halfway off of his seat at his bench, which you were facing at, and he takes his gavel and slams it down. And he says, are you telling me that the government wasted $750,000 of taxpayers' money trying an innocent man? This case is dismissed with prejudice, he says. Mr. Webb, I stood up at that old shit. What's he going to hit me with? He says, I'm sorry that this happened to you. I apologize on behalf of the courts, on behalf of the United States government. I wish you well, sir. He says, I suggest you seek counsel for financial remedies to what they have done to you. Case dismissed with prejudice. I salute him, said, thank you, sir. That's the power of God Almighty.
Here, here. We got to wind it up, guys. So, thank you.
In the
you,
program.
Stu.
I told a story about the power of God. Prosecutor dies. A federal judge's son dies. I'm released from prison. And here I am now. Guess what? You punks are in trouble. Now, all we have to do is take it to prayer. Now, Paul, I only said that. I'm not going to continue this with our shows. But I've seen things, folks. I've seen people die. I've seen mountains move. I've seen court situation move in my behalf, in God's behalf, because you're innocent. If you ask God, he says, what did God do? He raised people from the dead. He healed people. He says, all you have to do is ask. You can do more than I do. Go ahead, Paul. Close it out.
Well, that is the promise that Jesus told his disciples and was certainly fulfilled and continues to this day. It was fulfilled in the Acts of Apostles at Pentecost. And I think we are at the time of miracles, and what we're going to see through all of us believers is going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. Thanks to the listeners. Thanks to Heidi and Joffrey, and we'll be back on the air. We always welcome feedback, so let us you know what you're thinking or if there's anything we should be talking about.
Thank you, Professor Paul. Thank you, Heidi. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. Love
Thanks,
you
guys.
Hey.
Good night.
Bet my nieces and nephews up there, will you?
Will do.
do.
I'll talk to you later. Have a good one, folks.
Okay.